discounted $5,000 to $10,000, are discounted another $2,020 during this sale. Find out why T.R. Hughes Homes has been voted Best St. Charles Home Builder for 12 years. Visit trhughes.com for details.
Mardi Gras is bringing back the Blues Alumni Experience once again this year, which means you can share a drink with the biggest names in blues history in a heated tent directly on the parade route. With your all-inclusive pass, you can hear these legendary blues tell not-safe-for-TV stories from their playing days while you enjoy an open bar, lunch buffet, and a bubble hockey tournament. Make sure to grab your ticket to Hockey Heaven now before they sell out at stlmardigras.org. And don't forget, let's go Blues!
Hi, this is Cardinals broadcaster and Schnucks shopper Dan McLaughlin. How are you doing with those resolutions? If you're starting to eat a little healthier this year and looking for a place to start, start at Schnucks. Schnucks has the freshest produce in town to help you get on the right track. Did you know they sell more organics than anyone else in St. Louis? Schnucks can also help make simple swaps throughout the store that will help you build a healthier basket. Look for the healthy eating bins when you're in the store. Schnucks. Eat good to feel great.
Happy New Year from everyone at T.R. Hughes Homes. It's a new decade. 2020's here, and T.R. Hughes Homes is celebrating with a New Year's 2020 sale the entire month of January. Receive $2,020 in closing costs and $2,020 in free options on a brand new to-be-built T.R. Hughes home. Our completed, ready-now inventory homes already discounted $5,000 to $10,000 are discounted another $2,020 during this sale. Find out why T.R. Hughes Homes has been voted Best St. Charles Home Builder for 12 years. Visit trhughes.com for details.
At Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway, our mission is to provide our fans, racers, and sponsors with a first-class and up-close personal racing experience. This includes unprecedented access in drag strip, the oval, the road racing track, and a nationally sanctioned karting track, plus special events such as concerts and corporate functions for year-round activities. And it's all just 5 minutes from downtown. For more information, visit WWTRaceway.com or call 618-215-8888.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet.
All right, I'm directing my feet.
To
where?
To the sunny side of the street.
Okay, gotcha.
Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that
you know, I sounded good when I recorded this. I forgot how good I sounded.
Life can be so sweet.
Wait a minute. This is Willie Nelson.
You should have won a Grammy.
I get confused. I'm no Billie Eilish.
No.
With those blues on the rail.
I'm no Tyler the Creator.
I'm not afraid. This rover.
Yes, Frau. On the whole, I think Preparation H feels good.
Oh.
What is it now?
No, nothing. You know what? I agree. Preparation H does feel good. On the whole.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Wow. What's so funny?
I can explain it.
Hole. Preparation H. Hole. I don't get it. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to what we actually believe. We may be delusional, but we actually believe this is the best radio show, certainly in St. Louis, and maybe one of the best in the country, because it's, I don't know, I've never heard it, but I would think it's easy to listen to, non-confrontational, not political. We just sit around and talk with you. And the talk of the country, of course, today is the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash. And of course, we'll talk about it a little bit. And we'll let you talk about it if you want to. We welcome you to the show. It's called The Large Morning Show in the Afternoon. I watched the Grammy Awards last night. I didn't. 5% of what I watched, I actually could understand, and the rest, it was like I was from one planet, and those people were from another planet. I never saw anything like it in my life. We'll get into that later. I just want to welcome you and remind you that this is a special day today. If you know anything about 60s music, you know that today, the 27th of January, is another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Oh. Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
It's the 3rd of June.
Messed it up then, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's I'm always real reluctant to try to explain something to people where I might know a little more about it than most, because I've always held back doing that, because I don't want to sound like I'm like bragging or something, but I am a pilot. I'm a licensed helicopter pilot and a licensed fixed-wing instrument-rated pilot. I have about 2,500 hours. About 500 of those are helicopter. And one of the reasons over the years that I've never talked about it a lot is, one, first, it sounds like you're bragging. Okay, ooh, I have an airplane or whatever. Ooh. Yeah, I know. But I also think you need to establish some credibility if you're going to, you know, speak about something like this, so that people know you might actually know what you're talking about. Yesterday, my wife and I went out somewhere for a late breakfast. I told her, I said, it's time you take a break from cooking. You're always in the kitchen. I'm going to give you a break.
Wow.
Oh, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm thinking somebody else. She's never in the kitchen. She doesn't cook. I'm sorry. I was thinking somebody else. But we did go out. And while we are in this breakfast place, there was some whispering and buzz, and one of the customers asked the waitress if she could confirm something that popped up on her phone. And it was about the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash. What's interesting is that the day before, I had gotten into a discussion with somebody about the National Enquirer and TMZ, and they were talking about what a horrible trash they were, and you couldn't believe anything they said. I got news for you, folks. The story yesterday was absolutely broken by TMZ. And when we're at this place for breakfast, the woman at another table, I said, is there something going on? She says, TMZ. Pull up TMZ. So I did, and there it is. And then I quickly went to USA Today, ABC, CNN, NBC, Fox News. Nothing. Nothing for quite a while. Didn't have anything about it. In fact, on the screen at this place we're eating is ESPN, and there's a basketball game going on. It's women's basketball. Nothing crawling at the bottom of the screen. Nothing. Zero. But TMZ had it. The one thing you have to give TMZ and the Enquirer credit for as much as they sometimes mislead us, they're also, in many cases, the people who break the story and do it well. So props to TMZ, because if it is a big deal in the TV world, you go, you heard it here first, or you saw it here first, well, they had it first before anybody did, and quite a while before anybody did. So then I start, when you fly, what happens is when you hear a story like this, or remember the Bob Richards story out at Spirit Airport when he nosedived himself into the tarmac or the asphalt, when you hear these stories, honest to goodness, you can put yourself in the cockpit and kind of feel what they must have been going through. Sort of like if most everybody listening drives a car. So if you hear a story about a car accident, they talk about the airbag going off, the pad, you can visualize, you can sort of feel what that might have felt like sitting behind the steering wheel. Same thing is true of these crashes. So I'm more than interested in finding out everything I could about what happened. So yesterday, about, I guess, 2 to 3 hours after this news broke, a friend of ours called me, and she said, you're the only helicopter pilot I know. I don't know who else to call. What do you think? And I said, fog. That's what I think, fog. And I said, and you'll find out that I'm right. It was fog, which means, folks, the pilot, and I don't know how else to say this, the pilot killed himself and 8 other people. It is always on the pilot. The helicopter didn't malfunction. That's a $13 million helicopter. That's a helicopter that is the same helicopter Donald Trump had, and still does, as his private copter with Trump written on it.
Wow.
It's a very expensive, it's a 12-passenger helicopter. The person that called me says, look, I only think about flying helicopters, but I'm guessing they were overweight with 9 people. And I said, no, not that helicopter. That Sikorsky helicopter is made to easily carry 12 people. It's $13 million. It's a fantastic machine. It wasn't a helicopter. It was the pilot. And somebody says, well, it was the weather. Then it was the pilot. Because here's the deal. Like John F. Kennedy Jr., who was not the brightest guy in the world, and I don't say that just because of the plane crash. I say it because John Kennedy Jr. had to take the bar exam 8 times before he could pass it. He wasn't real smart. And the proof that he wasn't real smart was the night that he killed himself and everybody else on the plane. And I say it that way because that's exactly what happens. The pilot has the choice to make. Do we go or do we not go? And when the LAPD grounds their helicopters because the fog is so thick. And by the way, police departments and like Arch Helicopters in St. Louis, the people that come and land at the scene of an accident, take somebody to the hospital, those are some of the best helicopter pilots there are. If they ground those helicopters, it's nasty. And for this guy to have taken off with all those people in that soupy, that's what we call it, the soup. You're in the soup. That soupy condition is irresponsible, and in this case, it cost the lives of 9 people, including his. Nobody wants to put it that way. I asked Limey before we went on there, I said, have you ever been in a helicopter? He goes, no, and I don't plan to after the Kobe Bryant thing. And I said, why? He goes, well, look, the helicopter went down. It's not the helicopter. Helicopters are up every day, all over the place. Hundreds, thousands of them. When there's a crash, it is, not in every case, but it is almost always pilot error. That's what they call it, pilot error. So unfortunately, this pilot, and here's the other thing I'll just share with you, and you pilots who are listening, you'll know, this will be familiar to you. Early on, when you learn to fly, they talk to you a lot about what kills people in airplanes or helicopters. And it's a thing called get there-itis. I have to get there. Mel Carnahan. The night Mel Carnahan's plane went down, I was flying a lot back then. And I remember standing outside. I'm not making this up. I'm standing outside, and it was the nastiest, foggiest, crappiest. I looked at my wife. And we were with another couple. We'd gone to dinner or something. And I looked up in the sky. I thought, man, I'm glad I'm not flying tonight. In fact, I wouldn't fly tonight. I said, what a horrible, crappy night. And I get home and I watch the news and boom, Carnahan's plane goes down. Went down because the pilot had no business flying in that weather. And I may be mistaken, but I'm not sure he had an instrument rating, which is really stupid. So nobody wants to call somebody who's been killed stupid or irresponsible, but the fact is that's what happens. And when you fly for, the reason these politicians and rock stars die in plane crashes is get their itis. We have a concert to do. We have to get to Des Moines. We have to get, boom, 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 got to get there. Well, you don't get there because you get killed sometimes on the way, and it's the pilot's choice to say, no, sorry, we're not going to go. But they're afraid to do it, especially when they're flying for somebody important. That helicopter that Kobe Bryant had, there are 178 of those, that specific helicopter, flying in this country, mainly for very successful, high-level corporate executives, the Donald Trump types before he got to be president, 178 of them. And how often do you hear about one going down? Let me see. Oh, never. Except yesterday. I'm losing track. It was just yesterday,
yeah,
right?
That was yesterday.
Yeah. So, there was a guy they interviewed who was an eyewitness, and he says, oh, I knew they were in trouble. I could hear that engine sputtering. What? No, you didn't. You didn't hear it. You heard the sound of a helicopter. Now that it crashed, in your mind, you think it was sputtering. It had nothing to do with mechanical failure. This had everything to do with this guy becoming completely disoriented in the fog. Not the helicopter engine sputtering. None of that stuff. And I listened to... Did you guys listen to the air traffic control communication back and forth?
No.
The helicopter?
I did.
Yeah. Most people won't understand 80% of it because it's just gibberish. But that pilot was flying under what's called special VFR rules. VFR is visual flight rules. There are two kinds of pilots, VFR and IFR. VFR pilots cannot, are not allowed to fly in the clouds or in extremely low visibility. They have to be able to see. Instrument-rated pilots, IFR pilots, can fly when you can't even see the nose of the plane, because I've done it. You can't even see the wings. It's so thick you can't see anything. But you're still allowed to fly because you fly by the instruments. He was flying under what's called a special VFR. It's a permission that the tower grants you in marginal conditions. In fact, conditions that normally, but it's issued, and it gets very complicated. It's issued when the pilot knows that either on departure or takeoff, they're going to be in VFR conditions, visual conditions, so they'll be able to see what they're doing, where they're going. And so they'll grant it, and it's usually granted to helicopter pilots, and here's why. Airplanes, if they get a special VFR and they get into some stuff and they can't see, you can't just set an airplane down in a parking lot because you realize you're in the middle, you're in the soup. But you can helicopter. Just put in the Kmart parking lot. I don't know why I say Kmart. Are there any Kmarts anyway? I don't know why I said that. Do we even have Kmart? I don't think so.
I don't think they're around anymore.
Put in a Walmart parking lot. You know, I've done it. You just put it down. Just set it down. So most of the special VFR permissions are granted to helicopter. This is a really horrible story, but it's horrible for more than just a father and son are dead and a bunch of other people are dead, and because it didn't have to happen, just like the John Kennedy thing didn't have to happen. And yes, every once in a while, I have a friend who flew. I don't know where he was heading, but he's going west out of St. Louis and over Forestdale. His engine just quit on the airplane, which is very, very rare. And come to find out, it was a mechanic who didn't properly replace the fuel line hose, and it came loose. So the fuel was just spewing all over the place, but it's not going in the engine, and it quit. And he was lucky because he was over Forestdale, which, as you might know, is just farmland. He lands in a cornfield. But that's very rare. It's very rare. So that's it. Sometimes people want to get on the news and they, I knew he was in trouble. I could tell by the way he was circling around, he didn't know where he was. No, you couldn't tell any such thing. He was circling because he was in a holding pattern. The tower had told him to hold hail for 15 minutes. A holding pattern is nothing more than, think of it this way, going in a circle until they clear you to come in and land. And that helicopter was in a holding pattern. He wasn't circling because he was lost. He was circling because they told him to. But in the process, he did get lost. He got disoriented. Next thing you know, they slam into a hillside or something, and they're dead. So that's really it. I'll take them. And look, I'm not a sports guy. I've made that very clear. I know who Kobe Bryant was. 20 years in the NBA, got in at 18, drafted right out of high school. I know enough to know this guy was an exceptional. Tim, correct me. Exceptional. Forget basketball, football, any of them. He was exceptional.
Yeah. Well, he was top five NBA scorer of all time. Top four. LeBron James just passed him the day before he died.
Yeah, and I also, in USA Today, Friday, just Friday, the last edition of USA Today before this happened, they had an interview with Kobe Bryant, just kind of reflecting back on his life. It was just kind of eerie and creepy. And here's what I know, and you can help me, Tim, because you know probably more than anybody in the room about sports. My take on Kobe Bryant was this. He made a mistake. He had a couple of hiccups in his life, an affair, whatever. Okay, who hasn't? I mean, who hasn't done something you really wish you hadn't done? Outside of that, my take on him was he's just a really decent guy who worked really, really hard to achieve what he achieved.
Well, he was.
Is that about it?
He was extremely well-liked. I mean, you don't...
Yeah.
Other than the incident in Colorado in which he was accused of sexual assault with the young woman that he eventually wrote a check to and who the charges eventually got dropped, and right. She made him, her lawyers and his lawyers orchestrated a combined letter of apology. It's the only time I've ever heard about that in my life. But they actually agreed on, they had to actually negotiate the exact verbiage of an apology letter on a sexual assault case. That being aside, all these different athletes that admired him, it's all like they, even though a lot of them only met him one time, like I don't know if you listened to the news at the top of the hour, but Travis Ford, I ran a cut. And he was bawling, crying, after the slew game last night.
I heard it.
I wonder how many times he met him, because Travis didn't play in the NBA. I'm sure he met him at some point at a basketball convention or a coach's seminar or something along those lines. But but you just become overwhelmed with grief when your idol or somebody that you idolized perishes so suddenly like that, even though you may not have met him or known him very briefly. And I think a lot of players had that reaction yesterday when they knew that. They probably all met him at least one point.
And just from reading the tweets and listening, and the little bits I picked up, the guy was extremely well-liked. And I'm so glad, at least the coverage I've seen, they didn't go and dwell on the settlement with the girl. You know what? Look, I've never been famous, but I can only imagine how hard it is when you're that rich and that famous and women are throwing themselves at you. Maybe you're weak and you cave and you give up. Apparently they made it work. He got her a big ring and they were fine. And they had four daughters. I mean, it was okay. He made it right. That's my take, is that, so what? All in all, good guy, decent guy. And I don't think, and I'm not qualified to really say this, but I don't think, in fact, I know, there's no athlete that reaches the heights he reached without a tremendous amount of work. We don't see the work that goes into it, the thousands and thousands of hours of practice and practice and practice and practice. You just don't get there because you're lucky. You get there because you worked hard for it. And I don't care if that's the same with acting, or music, or anything. You put a lot of your life, probably almost all of it, into it. So, big loss. Big loss, and one that could have been avoided. And I guarantee you those families of all those people who were killed are real mad right now at that pilot. And I'm not saying you do, but they're not happy that he chose... to go.
That info is just starting to leak out. Apparently, his daughter Gigi, who was 13, was on the plane. Two of her teammates that were also about her age were also on that plane. And then the coach of the team that coached the 13-year-old, she was on the plane also. So it was Kobe and his daughter. It was another girl and her two parents, another girl and her mother, and then the female coach of the team and the pilot. Those are the people on the plane.
Yeah, that's... too bad. Limey, I just got a text from front. It says, sounds like there's some echo on my microphone. It's one text. I don't know what that means.
Right. Sorry.
You might want to just check on.
Echo on yours?
I'm responding even as. This is something few people can do. I'm texting and talking.
Hmm. Wow.
At the same time. THANKS, thanks, period, send. Boom. Gone.
Wow.
Thank you. Anybody else want to comment on this before we move on to other things?
Anyone? No, but we do have we have some callers.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Let's go to, I guess, John first. We'll do that.
Yep.
John,
yes.
Welcome to 590 The Fan. John, how are you?
Hi Frank. I wanted to say that I agree with everything you've said about the crash. I'm not a pilot, but other sources that I've heard from, the pilot apparently had several thousand of hours of IFR experience. I don't know what that means one way or the other, you know. But also, that helicopter once belonged to the state of Illinois.
Right. I read that.
It was built in 1991. It was sold for a little over half a million dollars. And
well, that's pretty cheap because that's a $13 million helicopter. That's dirt cheap.
Yeah. I heard you say that. Yeah, it's a real sad occasion, but those things, unfortunately, why, you're right, it's got to be pilot error that brings things like that about.
Well, a lot of pilots are real reluctant to say no to Kobe Bryant or no to name any big, wealthy, or high-level executive because they just are. They want to please them and they go, I'm sorry, I can't take you. They're afraid they'll be fired. I'd rather be fired than be dead. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, John, I appreciate the call.
Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you. Let's go to Jim. Jim, welcome to 590. I didn't give the numbers out either. I'll do that after I talk to Jim. Jim, how are you?
Hey, Craig. Hey, gang. I started flight school in the Aero Club in the airport. I didn't get to complete it, but I thought it was interesting when you were saying that. The first day, the flight instructor told us, he said, one of the two main things that will get you killed in an aircraft, and nobody knew. He said, the first one is arrogance, the second one is stupidity. Yeah. And in so many cases, that is true when you hear about some of these crashes. And also, I believe Sikorsky, those helicopters have never had a crash that was mechanically motivated. It was 99% of the time it's pilot air.
Yeah, there are two other possibilities besides just the plane or aircraft itself. Now, Limey, I got a bunch of echo that just popped up. I don't know why.
It just said. For some reason, yeah, it's on the phone.
I think it might be because of the phones. I have no idea. Yeah. I can't press anything on myself.
Okay, I'm going to talk to Jim anyway. Jim, there's pilot error, and there's also mechanical error, meaning a mechanic or whoever worked. If the guy was drunk when he serviced the plane, I mean, but that's rare. Yeah. That's really, really rare. It is probably. I don't know the number, but it's probably 98%, 99%. Pilot. People like to say, oh, it was the weather. Well, the weather was what it was. The pilot has to make a decision in that weather whether or not to fly. And I've been in a couple of really, really scary situations where I cannot believe I didn't just lose it in my pants and just mess myself. I mean, it's that scary. You do it once, you don't do it again. You learn. And if this guy did, in fact, have all that experience, he really should have known better. And you do develop an overconfidence. It's like, well, I've got 8,000 hours or whatever. I can handle this. Now, maybe you're too complacent because you've flown so much.
Yep, definitely the arrogance at that point, yeah.
Well, Jim, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good afternoon.
You too. 314-821-0590. Let me do that again. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Anybody else? Oh, we must just go ahead and call this the Burke segment because it is. Anybody have anything?
Oh, I do.
All right. This is Dan Strauss, everybody. Dan?
Thank you so much, Frank.
You are welcome.
Spent the entire weekend. Pardon me. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Spent the entire weekend down at the Enterprise Center for the All-Star Game. Friday night, I went, and I had a band job, so I couldn't stay for the skills competition.
Yeah, what?
A band job.
Oh.
Yeah. So I couldn't stay.
That's a B, not an H.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's eight hands, not right one.
I couldn't stay for the skills competition, so Sandy took one of her friends and went into the skills. My girlfriend. Oh. She went into the skills competition, but we went down there for the festivities and stuff and saw a band. It was oh man, what are their names? O-R, is it O-R-A?
O'Reilly's?
Don't ask me.
No, O-R-A or something. They have,
I don't know.
They have a hit or something. They do have a hit. I recognize the hit, but they were really, really good. And they played out on, I think it was 14th Street. They had
better than your band, the Seventh Anus Band?
Yeah. Seventh Anus. Seventh Planet.
Seventh Planet.
Yeah. And, I would say that they were probably better than we are, but they were excellent. Very good. And somebody will probably call and tell me what the name of the band was. But they were excellent. They came on at 5 o'clock. Played till about 6 or 6:15, and then everybody goes inside, and I left and went and played our band job. The next day we went down, and I thought I'm going to go to the fan fest
because your whole mission was to get a picture with the Stanley Cup.
Yes, right? With the Stanley Cup. My mission was to go to fan fest and get a picture with the Stanley Cup and actually touch the Stanley Cup. We got down there pretty early, and we get into Fan Fest, and the line for the cup was insane. I have never seen a line like this, and I walked up to some guy. I said, are you in line for the cup? And he says, yes, and it just wrapped around. We kept going and wrapped around and wrapped around and just kept going and going and going, and it went out into the atrium of Union Station, out through these doors, and it was still going.
The paper reported it was a almost 5 hour long line.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Brother.
And I looked at this line and I thought, you know what?
There's no way, Jose.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not doing this. And there was a guy named Jose there, and I looked at him and I said, no way, Jose. I am not going on this line. And so we just left. And Sandy was like, do you want to stay and look at some of the other stuff? I said, no.
Who is Sandy again?
My girlfriend. And there were long lines for other activities that they had in this thing. The Fan Fest, I think, was much bigger than the organizers that put this together ever thought it would be. It was crazy inside this place. So then we ended up going out and leaving, and then we went over to watch Green Day play. And you know who Green
sure.
Day is?
I know Green from the 80s, 90s. Yeah.
So Green Day is going to play, and we're going into this, and it's all an outside venue. It's right in front of the Stiefel Theater. All an outside venue, but you have to walk through these metal detectors. We get up there, and they stopped everyone right when we were getting ready to walk in. There was plenty of room in there, but the guy says, we're closed down. The fire marshal says there's too many people in here right now.
And why didn't you say, don't you know who I am?
I did.
You did?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't do that.
Missed opportunity.
But I did. I did take out a couple of dollar bills, and I said, but my friend George Washington and his brother George Washington says that I can get in here. The guy got a good laugh out of it, but he wouldn't let me in.
Man, that just wasn't your weekend.
Well, did you hear what happened with the Green Day performance?
Well, no. Here's the best part of it is, We were stuck right outside the gate, so we could still see the stage and still see everything that was going on. 5 o'clock rolls around, no Green Day. 5:15 rolls around, there's no Green Day. And we decided to leave and go inside and just go to our seats close to 5:30. So we had to weasel our way through the crowd to get out and then get into the Enterprise Center. And Green Day, we found out, came out later and played 3 songs outside. And then we were inside, and between the second and third hockey game that went on inside, Green Day came out, and they were doing a performance. And they did the performance and played probably, I think, 2 songs inside.
So hang on. They did 3 songs earlier.
3 songs earlier.
And then they did
2 songs inside.
So they did a total, hang on here.
Three songs outside. Yeah.
And 3 songs.
2 songs. 2 songs inside. So they did a total of 12 songs.
12 songs.
Yeah.
That's accurate, Dan.
That's incredible.
I think actually they played 4 songs outside, but according to what I read, they had to play the same song twice. Whatever their first song was, they played it, and then they played 3 songs, and they got so cold that they quit it after 3. I don't know how long they were scheduled to play for, but the NHL made them come back outside and replay whatever the first song they played was. They replayed the first song a second time so that the NHL could get better crowd shots to show on its TV coverage of the game.
Really?
Well, then, so the number is correct, because that doesn't count as 2 songs. It's still 12 songs.
Well, then that explains what happened inside. Inside, they came in and they said, "Now we're getting ready to come back from break." And they told the crowd, "Everybody yell Green Day, Green Day!" So they were all, everybody's yelling Green Day, and they come out and they start playing a song, The head guy, the singer, I can't think of his name.
Tom Green.
Yeah, Tom Green.
Billy,
Joel Holiday?
No.
Robinson?
Billy something.
Billy White Shoes Johnson. Hold
yeah, that's what it, that's
no,
what it is.
I get it. It's Billy something.
So he throws out a couple of F-bombs.
Billy Armstrong.
Is that what it is?
Billy Joe Armstrong.
Okay, Billy Joe Armstrong.
See, there you go. Billy Joe.
So
you were close.
He's right in the middle of a song, and he says, "Let's go effing crazy."
That's inappropriate.
And people cheer. And then he says it again. Then he says it again. And then the next song.
And this is on live TV.
This
Frank.
Is live TV. They cut it out of live TV. But in the stadium, you could hear it plain as day, and then he says it.
Plain as day, that's good. Green Day.
Yes, I know. You could hear it plain as green day. And then he says it in the second song like 3 times. He drops F-bombs. And I thought everybody was all excited to see Green Day, and I thought, what a bunch of jerks to do that, because there were kids, and small kids. There were kids that were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and there were families in there that had no clue who Green Day was, and they're seeing a concert in between periods, and this guy's dropping F-bombs left and right. So I thought, bad on you, Green Day.
I've never understood why they think that's even necessary. It doesn't add to the performance.
Well, he was probably upset about playing outside and the NHL.
The other one I don't like. Here's the other thing I don't like. When somebody is like hosting an award show or whatever, and they go, come on, let's make some noise! Let's make some noise! It's like they're trying to generate electricity and energy that's not there. Well, maybe it's not there because you're not doing what you should do. They're not excited about you.
You just sounded like the deceased gardener of the old station you were on when you did that. You were like using his voice.
Little Jim McMillan?
Yeah, that's what you sounded like when you did that.
OAR was the band that played on Friday night. They were 10 times better than Green Day was and loved the crowd, went crazy. The crowd went crazy with them and had a blast with them. Green Day, I lost all respect for them when they did that inside the stadium with all of these kids inside the stadium.
You know what? I am such a weirdo. I have never jumped up, yelled, screamed, been excited just to the point of, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm seeing a person there. Never. And you talked about, something else earlier, and I thought, I've never done, like when somebody passes away, like Kobe Bryant, there's no one that's ever passed away where I was just personally devastated. Outside of family, there's nobody that can die that will just crush me.
For me,
devastate.
It was,
they don't mean that much to me.
For me, David Bowie kind of got me a little bit like bummed out, but the one that really hurt was when Stan Lee died, because he invented Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and, like, you know, X-Men and all that. That one really hit when he died last year. That one sucked hardcore.
Well, I don't fault people for being that wrapped up in somebody, but if something happened to one of my kids, I'd be a goner. Outside of that, I'm sitting here, I thought about it earlier when I started seeing some of these tweets and the postings about Kobe Bryant, and they couldn't stop crying, they don't think they'll be able to get over this, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, man, I don't have that. There's nobody that I'm going to stand to see 5 hours or go crazy. I see people at the concerts. I went to a couple times to what's Hollywood Amphitheater now. It used to be Riverport. I went to see Toby Keith, for example. And the entire time, everybody stands up. I wish I hadn't gone. I'm not there to stand up for 2 hours.
That's what they do at concerts now.
Oh,
everybody
my
stands.
Goodness. When
everybody.
Did that start?
Listen, I don't know. A while back.
Just today, Frank, and I would encourage you to see this. The last concert I ever went and saw was at the Hollywood Amphitheater, and it was the rock group Disturbed. And it was 2 summers ago. It was a birthday present for myself. Well, they just announced today that they're coming back. Well, I got on StubHub, and I bought 2 tickets in the front row that miraculously were available to see Disturbed on that night. And in front of the front row, you're not in the front row, you're in the front row. You're in the front row behind what they call the mosh pit.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you're familiar with what a mosh pit is?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Now, flying past my head during this concert, okay? Now, this mosh pit starting to get pretty hand. There were some girls that were in the mosh pit, which I couldn't believe. And these guys were flinging these girls at each other. These 2 girls, one of them's forehead headbutted and smacked this girl in the mouth, and 2 of her teeth flew past my head and into about the 3rd row of where we were sitting.
That sounds like such a great night. Oh,
2 teeth.
That sounds so great.
Real teeth.
That isn't respecting a real mosh pit, though.
Well, I mean, and then I couldn't believe guys weren't breaking arms and cracking necks and stuff. And they just announced today that they're coming. I'm going back.
That's messed up. Yeah. See, if somebody...
You see that a lot of, like, at Michael Bublé concerts.
mosh pits break out, yeah.
Well, no, to give a rule out to all these
youngsters.
Because
old people losing their teeth at those concerts.
Okay.
If all your younger generations go into a mosh pit, there is a rule. There is a respect. If somebody is small, you don't throw them around. 2, if somebody goes down, You pick him back up, and you get him to the edge of the mosh pit.
Have you been in one?
Yes, several.
You have.
Hell yeah,
are
man.
Are you kidding me?
And those are the
skinny
rules.
Skinny as you are?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
You just jump in.
You weren't in one being thrown around or passed around.
No.
Part of the crowd pushing people around.
I almost got pushed into one, and it's like, no.
But no, those are the rules that we used to abide by. Obviously, they don't do it anymore, but if somebody like trips over, you get them out of the ring before they get trampled. And you don't purposefully like punch somebody in the face.
I have to tell you, this is first of all, this is what is it? OHR or OAR?
Yeah,
OAR. This is the band. This is you would recognize this song.
Yeah, I know this one.
The Shattered. Yeah. So they did this and a bunch of other songs. And do you know this song, Frank?
I do not.
Really?
Nope. There's a lot I don't know.
Okay. Somebody just texted over.
Yeah.
Back in high school, I was in a mosh pit once. Man, she was ugly.
So,
I like that.
This happened to this friend of mine, Tim Reynolds, who plays with the Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, can you get me any tickets?
No.
Uh-huh.
Dave Matthews.
You're friends with him?
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up with him.
You never mentioned that.
Dave Matthews, the band was playing in Chicago. And they had some downtime, and Tim and a bunch of other people went to see an Alice in Chains cover band. They were like one of those tribute bands. And they went to this place, and they were just standing there, and someone pushed Tim into the mosh pit.
Oh, not TR3.
No. And someone pushed him into the mosh pit. Tim's a small guy, and he gets bounced around and everything. He finally makes his way out. This gets back to Dave Matthews' manager that happened, and the people that were with Tim got reamed because they said if anything would have happened to him, if he would have broken an arm or anything like that, the tour is over.
Wow.
And, oh, man, they went crazy. They went off on him, on different people.
That only happened to me one time. I was in a mosh pit. I got thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
See, it was at a Tony Bennett concert.
That
stuff always
happens. Oh, when
just
he does.
Just with your elbows.
When he hits
Left My Heart in San Francisco, oh man, they go crazy.
They do go nuts.
when those wheelchairs collide, it makes a loud bang.
Oh, it's clanging, banging. Walkers and wheelchairs crashing into each other. I have to do one quick bit of business, if you'll allow me, then we'll get back to whatever this is.
And Bob has a question for Limey also.
Let's just get Bob in here right now and get his question answered. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. Limey, it's for you.
Hey, Bob.
How are you doing, Limey?
I'm well, sir. What can I do for you?
I was doing a word puzzle this morning, and the subject was the favorite foods in the United Kingdom.
Okay.
And there were some words that I had no idea what they were, and I figured you might know what they are.
Happy to help.
One of them was bangers.
Yeah, that's a sausage.
How appropriate.
It doesn't have bread on it? A banger doesn't have... It's not
bangers?
A sandwich?
No, it's just a sausage. Yeah, bangers and mash. Sausage and mashed potatoes.
How about cockle? C-O-C-K-L-E.
That is a little muscle. It's like... It comes in a...
It's a little muscle down in your pants.
I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A cockle is kind of like a mussel or a clam. It comes in a little shell. You can find them at the beach and stuff like that.
The word cockle is in the song Sweet Molly Malone. It's an Irish song, Dublin's Fair City, where the girls are so pretty. And there's a line in there, crying cockles and mussels alive, alive.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh.
Wow.
I promise I didn't look this up. From memory, a cockle is an edible burrowing bivalve mollusk with a strong ribbed shell.
Yeah, I think we all knew that.
A mollusk.
That's what I was just about to say.
There you go.
On a menu.
Anything else?
Yeah, what's a parkin? P-A-R-K-I-N.
I have no idea.
Parkin.
Might be a pie of some sort.
No, that's a big lot.
It's a parking lot. Good.
Park cars.
Yeah, that's where you park your car to go eat cockles.
Yeah.
It's a gingerbread cake with oatmeal and black treacle.
Treacle.
I can do Google search too, but I wanted to hear from Lyme.
Then get on. He doesn't know what he's talking about, so you better call another show.
Yeah, no, I've never had that before.
Okay, I got another one. Tatties.
Sorry, what?
T-A-T-T-I-E-S.
Tatties? I know, like, Taters, like it's short for potatoes. I don't know about. I think tatties might be potatoes or spuds.
When we were
some
in
sort.
Europe, a waitress was serving them because I heard somebody say, "Look at those. She's got some nice tatties."
Yeah,
I think that's, that's what he said. I think that's what he said.
I think it's potatoes of some sort. I'm not sure. Tatties that might be new.
I think he's saying patty.
What?
No, tatty
with a T.
Are you saying patty, sir, or tatty?
Melons.
Pony.
Yeah, tatty.
Yeah, tatties are actually melons.
should be.
I have no idea.
Melons with nipples.
Hey, what's soda bread? What is soda bread?
Soda bread is bread, but they use like actual soda, like, you know, the sparkling water. They use that in there. It's supposed to make it a little more lighter.
So you have Pepsi soda bread and Coke soda bread.
That's supposed
to be funny.
Buddy. B-U-T-T-Y.
Oh, that is a sandwich. That's a nickname for a sandwich, like a chip buddy or a ham buddy or a crisp buddy. Yeah, that's a sandwich.
Okay, well, there's some more, but that's enough. I appreciate it. Thanks, Limey.
Anytime, Bob. Happy to help, bud.
Bob.
Tatties.
He loves your voice. That he just wants you here. He just wants you to answer questions he already knows the answers to, just so he can hear your voice.
I think that's true.
Yeah, that's love right there.
And now that Bob got us off course by talking about some girl's tatties, now I'm behind, and I was supposed to have two commercials done already, and I don't have even one. So I'll do one, and then we'll slide the other one at the end of Josh Bauman's segment, which reminds me, Josh Bauman's in today at 4 o'clock. We're going to talk about tech stuff. So if you have a question, those of you who are smart, we'll jump ahead of the others in line and have these numbers already dialed, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. I have just enough time to invite everybody who banks somewhere, and that's pretty much all of you who bank somewhere. Some do more banking than others. Some have more money than others, more loans than others, but you bank somewhere. How do you choose where you're going to bank? Here's what I believe. I believe most people bank the same place they banked years ago when they made the decision to go there because they moved in a home and it was in the neighborhood. That's what I think. And I also think that most people couldn't tell you why they stay with the place where they're banking. They don't really have a good reason. It's just, well, that's where I bank, so I stay there. Well, let me give you a couple of reasons you may want to think about changing. One would be extremely important, and that's rates, competitive rates, car loan rates, home loan rates, savings rates. If you're a small business, First Community Credit Union loves small business. They are small business partners with lots of businesses in the St. Louis area. And there's also services that are offered. Whatever it is that you are doing with your banking facility, whatever services they give you, I'm going to bet that First Community Credit Union also has all those services. We, the members, just happen to think that they do all that better and they're more competitive. Here's another thing. Banks are owned by somebody. They're owned by a group of people or by a family or a person. Or they are. They're just their own. Credit Union, First Community Credit Union, is not for profit. At the end of the year, the profits go back into the credit union. Yes, they have to pay people. They have a president and they have a board and they have all that stuff. But the money goes back in so it's available to the members when they need it. Let's say to borrow money for a house. So that's an event. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I will have to tell you, like lots of good things, there's a price to pay. You open an account at First Community Credit Union, there is a fee for that membership. It's $1. That's not a joke. It's actually a dollar. I get statements in the mail, and there it is on there. $1. The fee. Worth every single one of the 100 cents in the dollar, and you'll see why if you will consider changing where you do all your banking. First Community Credit Union, over 40 locations, proud sponsor of the yard sale every Saturday morning right here and only here on 590 The Fan. Popcorn is always fresh and the people are really nice. The website's easy to navigate. Check it out. It's firstcommunity.com. Please stay with us. Glad to have you with us on this Monday after we speak with John Londoff. Josh Bauman will join us on 590 The Fan. It is 4 o'clock at, as I said, 590 The Fan.
Thursday night at 6:30, the Fighting Illini take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
590 KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. President Trump lawyer Jane Raskin is defending Rudy Giuliani today during the Senate impeachment trial. Giuliani is a Trump personal attorney who was roundly criticized by Democrats for his efforts in Ukraine. Raskin called Giuliani.